Good day, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Father Blake Britton from St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today, we will be reflecting on the life of St. George, Martyr of the Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit himself? Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate the great feast of St. George, Martyr of the Church, a man who, throughout the past several thousand years, has been cloaked in myth and legend. Now, this is not a bad thing. The fact that a legend and myth has been built around him means that he was a man worthy of having legendarium. He was a man worthy of having mythos built around his personality. J.R.R. Tolkien helps reclaim the dignity of myth in his wonderful essay on fairy stories when he asserts that mythos, myth, is not a negation of truth, but rather is a way in which human beings try to express the deeper truths of reality. When we tell a myth, it's because something is so profoundly true, something is so unbelievably beautiful that we must find extraordinary ways to express it. And that's most certainly is the case when it comes to St. George. Following the example, therefore, of the ancient church, let us begin with the legend of St. George and see what deeper truths history has to tell us about the extraordinary life of this brave Catholic man. We know that St. George is famous for slaying the mighty dragon. I particularly love the ancient icons, these ancient images depicting the life of St. George, and one in particular shows St. George with a spear, and the spear is going through the head of a red dragon. And behind St. George, in a beautiful tower, is a woman dressed in fine clothes with diadems and jewelry bedecking her. St. George slays the dragon in order to protect and safeguard the life of this beautiful woman. Of course, if we look at this with a truly Christian eye, we know who the dragon is. The dragon is paganism. The dragon is the enemy, is Satan himself. The dragon is the Roman Empire, whom St. George combated by professing with boldness the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. And who is this beautiful damsel in distress that he safeguards? It is Mother Church. In one of the legendariums of St. George, he saves the woman because the dragon would only be satisfied with human sacrifices, so he saves the woman from being sacrificed to this dragon. Of course, we know that the Roman Empire would throw Christians into the Colosseum, men, women, children, that they would sacrifice the lives of Christians for the sake of sports, for the sake of personal enjoyment, and for the sake of vicious persecution. So in St. George slaying this dragon, it's a beautiful symbol of him safeguarding, of him protecting Holy Mother Church from becoming a sacrifice to the Roman Empire. Now, this is a bravery which needs to be reclaimed in Christianity. That is the ultimate lesson that the martyrs have to teach us, my brothers and sisters. The church, when we wear the red, symbolizing blood of the martyrs at the Holy Mass, it is meant to stir our conscience. It's meant to challenge us to fight against our mediocrity and to fight against our shallowness in order to ask ourselves the question, Are we willing to shed the blood of our body and soul for the sake of the gospel? St. Maximilian Kolbe has that wonderful vision when the Blessed Virgin Mary appears to him, and she's holding two crowns, one of white and one of red. The red crown stands for blood martyrdom. The white crown stands for white martyrdom. One is martyrdom of the body, the other one is martyrdom of the soul. St. Maximilian Kolbe, in his grandeur, says, "Give me both, O Mother. I want both." And he does. He does acclaim both in the concentration camp of Auschwitz during World War II, when he becomes a martyr of not just the soul in persecution, but also a martyr of the body in his selfless sacrifice. The majority of us will not face red martyrdom. However, white martyrdom, the death of our reputations, the death of our egos, the death of our personal ambition, the death of our animalistic tendencies and stimulations, pleasures, this white martyrdom, that is something that every Christian is called to. That is a courageousness and a zeal that we are all called to live. Are we willing in the public square to defend our holy Catholic faith, or do we sometimes quake in shame when we have conversations about abortion, or gay marriage, or contraception? Or if we have someone who is bashing the church because of the abuse crisis, or they're trying to discredit our Holy Father, Pope Francis, and the bishops, who are the successors to the apostles. Do we join in the persecution? Are we servants of the dragon? Are we helping the dragon slay the church? Are we stealing jewels, gems, and diadems from the necklace of Mother Church and casting them to the swine? Or rather, are we standing with St. George and the holy martyrs to protect the reputation, the dignity, the holiness, the beauty of Mother Church, to protect her teachings, to defend them with a courageous zeal, to shamelessly live and boldly have within us our Catholic faith? And not just in words. I'm not saying to go out to the street corners and hold up signs condemning others or beating Bibles. I'm talking about a real kind of holiness, one that is imbued within our flesh. Catholics should live differently than everyone else. People should be able to know that we are Christians just by gazing upon us. They should be able to know of the fire of our Catholic faith just by seeing the zeal with which we live. So as we celebrate this wonderful feast of St. George, let us first and foremost be encouraged by his life, that the dragon can be slain in Jesus Christ the Lord, in the grace and salvation that he has won for us from the cross. We can slay the dragon of sin. We can slay Satan. The Lord has already conquered him through his death on Golgotha. It reminds me of a wonderful quote by G.K. Chesterton when he says, "St. George does not teach us that dragons are real. St. George teaches us that dragons can be slain." St. George teaches us that dragons can be slain. Dragons can be slain, my brothers and sisters. We are not bound to our struggles with personal sin. We are not bound to the negativity and pessimism that the world sometimes surrounds us with. We are not bound by our wounds, by our brokenness, by our shame and guilt. Those dragons can be slain by the sacramental grace of Christ and Holy Mother Church. All we have to do is be willing to enlist in this great army, to be proud members of the Church Militant, and to stand our ground for the sake of the gospel, no matter the consequences.